The Dreamliner is coming to Oshkosh. The Solar Impulse has arrived in Paris. And Alcoa says aluminum competes favorably with composites. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, June 16th, 2011. A possibility openly hinted by Boeing officials over the past 2 years is now confirmed. The Dreamliner is coming to Oshkosh next month. EAA Chairman Tom Poberesny revealed yesterday that the 787 is scheduled to make its entrance at EAA AirVenture on Friday, July 29th. Quote, "We're proud and excited that Boeing recognizes the significance of EAA AirVenture Oshkosh in the global aviation community. This represents two significant firsts, the first time anywhere that aviation enthusiasts can tour the 787 and the first public showcase of the 787 in North America," unquote. Attendees can tour the Boeing 787 Dreamliner on static display on ConocoPhillips Plaza and watch it in flight during its arrival and departure. It's scheduled to arrive at 9:30 in the morning and depart following the afternoon air show about 6 p.m. On the second attempt to get its groundbreaking new aircraft to Le Bourget in time for the Paris Air Show next week, the Solar Impulse team succeeded. Pilot André Borschberg landed the solar-powered plane at Le Bourget about 9:30 p.m. local time Tuesday. The touchdown completed a flight of just over 16 hours from Brussels to Paris on solar power alone. A report on the Solar Impulse blog indicates that Borschberg executed a textbook landing in the plane, which has to be supported by a ground crew to prevent it from tipping on its side as it slows. The well-practiced crew safely brought the aircraft to a stop, and Borschberg emerged, stretched, and said the flight had been an amazing journey. The team had attempted the flight on Saturday, but weather forced an abort a little more than 3 hours into the flight, and the big plane returned to Brussels. The flight from Brussels to Paris is only about 158 miles, but weather and air traffic forced Borschberg to zigzag between clouds and wait for traffic to clear before he could make his final push to Paris. Air Canada says it will continue to operate its full schedule despite a strike by call center and airport check-in and gate agents in Canada represented by the Canadian Auto Workers Union. When a collective agreement was not reached by the parties by the strike deadline, the union struck at 12.01 a.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday. Duncan Dee, Air Canada Executive VP and Chief Operating Officer, expressed disappointment but explained, quote, "We have implemented a contingency plan involving more than 1,700 managers to assist at airports and call centers. We will continue to operate our full schedule and all bookings will be honored. We regret the inconvenience and we advise those traveling with Air Canada to consult our website and use our online self-service tools to check in and get flight information they need prior to arriving at the airport. We thank our customers for their patience and understanding," unquote. As a result of the strike, wait times at call centers and lineups for airport self-service kiosks are longer than normal. To reduce or avoid waiting, Air Canada strongly advises customers to familiarize themselves with the website, use self-service tools to check in, and avoid bringing checked bags. Data reported by major U.S. airlines reveal the carriers brought in almost $5.7 billion in revenue just from a la carte bag and reservation fees in 2010. The report was released by the U.S. Department of Transportation. CNN reports that the Air Transport Association defended the fee structure. In a statement, spokeswoman Jean Medina said the carriers require the revenue to add routes, add workers, and buy new airplanes. She said the fees are structured in such a way that passengers can pick and choose to pay for the products and services they value. The city of Grand Forks, North Dakota, says Cirrus Design owes it more than $1.7 million in back rent. Cirrus leases 160,000 square feet from Grand Forks and turned to the city to assist with its lease payments as its sales declined. Grand Forks, which had a major investment in Cirrus, agreed to make over $84,000 per month in lease payments from the city's general fund. Now, Urban Development Director Greg Hoover tells the Plains Daily newspaper that Cirrus is in arrears to the tune of $1,791,107. Hoover says Cirrus will pay the city what it owes plus interest when and if the U.S. government approves the sale to Kaiga, the Chinese firm, which is waiting to take Cirrus over. But he said as of now there is no repayment plan in place. Still ahead, Lockheed Martin Space Systems announces layoffs. Republic will restructure Frontier Airlines. And this may be the most brazen theft of aircraft parts ever. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, June 16th. I'm Paul Plagg. Alcoa, the big aluminum company, has made an announcement which suggests that metal airplanes may compete with composites a while longer, even in airliners. The company says a completely new set of aluminum-based solutions for the aerospace market will allow airframers to build dramatically lighter and lower-cost short-range airplanes at significantly lower production risk than composite-intensive planes. The new materials combine new alloys and advanced structural technologies, use Alcoa sheet, plate, forgings, and hard alloy extrusion products across aircraft structures, including airplane wings and fuselage elements. Alcoa says the new technologies, compared to composite, can lower the weight of an aircraft by up to 10%, lower the cost to manufacture, operate, and repair by up to 30%, and offer significantly lower production risk. The company says it will also allow for a 12% increase in fuel efficiency, on top of the 15% from new engines, and deliver passenger comfort features equivalent to composite-intensive planes, such as higher cabin pressure, large windows, and higher humidity. Perhaps just as important given the current political environment, Alcoa points out that aluminum is almost 100% recyclable when an aircraft reaches the end of its service life. Lockheed Martin Space Systems has announced employment reductions designed to address affordability and improve its competitive posture. Space Systems, which currently employs about 16,000 workers in 12 states, will cut about 1,200 positions by year's end. It's anticipated that middle management will be reduced by 25%, with significantly smaller percentage impacts at other levels and disciplines. Operations across the country will be affected, with the largest impact expected at the company's sites in Sunnyvale, California, the Delaware Valley region of Pennsylvania, and Denver, Colorado, where several of the company's major programs are transitioning out of development. Executive VP Joanne McGuire observed, quote, "In today's economic environment, we have two choices, make painful decisions now or pay a greater price down the road. This is a difficult but necessary action to improve efficiencies and make our business more competitive going forward. We will remain relentlessly focused on achieving operational excellence and mission success for our customers as we position to deliver more affordably in the future," unquote. Space Systems will offer eligible salaried employees an opportunity for a voluntary layoff and will provide career transition support to those affected by the workforce reduction. In a recent filing with the SEC, Republic Airways Holdings announced a program to restructure its subsidiary, Frontier Airlines, by making changes to its network, fleet allocation, and operating costs to improve overall business results by $100 million annually. A part of that effort includes restructuring wages and benefits, including the Frontier pilots represented by FAPA, the Frontier Airline Pilots Association. On June 10th, Frontier reached a tentative agreement with FAPA, which will lead to the postponement of certain pay increases, reduce company contributions to the pilot's 401k plan, reduce accruals for vacation days and sick days, and extend the collective bargaining agreement by 2 years. The agreement is subject to ratification with a vote scheduled for tomorrow. In exchange, FAPA will receive an equity stake in Frontier, subject to certain conditions being met. Republic won a bidding war with Southwest for Frontier in 2009 while the regional carrier was in bankruptcy. The airline emerged from Chapter 11 in September of 2009 and eventually became the unified brand for itself and Midwest Airlines, another Republic holding. The Indianapolis Star reports the leadership of the pilots' union is still not sure how the vote will turn out. Analysts say the airline is facing stiff competition from legacy carriers United and Delta, as well as former suitor Southwest, at some of the hub airports it serves. Law enforcement officials say Colton Harris Moore, better known as the Barefoot Bandit, stole cars, boats, and airplanes in a 2-year crime spree, which ended when he ditched a stolen Cessna Corvallis off the coast of Abaco in the Bahamas and was caught several days later by local authorities. His lawyer says he had hoped to secure a plea deal that would, among other things, allow him to sell his story in an effort to make restitution for his actions. The Wall Street Journal reports that deal has fallen through, so he's entered a plea of not guilty in a federal court in Seattle. And finally, the Barefoot Bandit has nothing on these guys. The Israeli military is investigating the theft of 8 F-15 and F-16 engines from the Tel Naf Air Base near Tel Aviv, though the military will admit only that parts were taken. The Mariv newspaper reports that those parts were actually entire engines. Each of the power plants weighs several thousand pounds, and they were reportedly no longer usable in aircraft. The paper said they most likely had been taken for their value as scrap. Getting the engines off the base would require large trucks. Mariv says that leads to speculation there was help from inside the base. I'm going to guess that if those perps are found, somebody's in for an unpleasant time. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.